live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 221. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. We've got a big show in store for you this evening. We've got NFL talk. NFL training camps are underway. We had the Hall of Fame game. Now we've got preseason game number one this weekend. Football is at it. We're 3 weeks away from college football taking off. Week zero is approaching quickly. We've got college football to talk about this evening as well. A little NBA news tonight. The Kevin Durant saga with the Nets continues. So we'll talk a little Brooklyn Nets, Kevin Durant drama, Lakers and LeBron. We've also got Big Ten news, Big Ten conference. We've got that to talk about a little bit this evening. A little bit of WWE pro wrestling. We've got that and more. We're taking your calls as well. But I'm joined as always with my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon Reif? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience, man? It's great to be back on. I hate to interrupt what you were doing, man. Continue, man. Give us the rest of the rundown of the show, man. I know we got a lot more topics to get through, so.
Yeah, I kind of did go through the topics already. That was the last one. I ended it and went right to you.
I don't mean to interrupt you, man, so let's go down the rest of the list.
Yeah, absolutely. So went through the list now. Now it's deciding where we want to go. Do we want to dive into NFL first? Do you want to dive into pro wrestling first? Do you want to go college football?
Well, Brandon, we gotta dive into NFL first, man. And I know we probably should start here locally. A little hot, but we have to acknowledge the fact that, you know what I'm saying, you finally got your dockets, you know what I'm saying, your Dan Dockets blowback, as he was, you know what I'm saying, giving out grades or whatever for you know what I'm saying, for teams, what he thought was the worst or whatever. And lo and behold, he said he thinks that the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be the fifth worst team in the NFL next season. And I tagged Brandon in and you know what I'm saying, Dockage Three Foolish Man and Crossbow Sports, Brandon Reif conversation ensues, man. So, man, I think we start with NFL, but, man, just give me some of your thoughts around, not necessarily Dan's opinion, we don't care. I mean, you know, Dan's a homie, what we call him back in the early 2000s, a frenemy. Right, Dan Dockers is a friend of me of Crossroads Sports, man. But like, no, man, you know, during what you've seen and what you've heard through the training camps from the Steelers, man, what would you say that, you know, I mean, because you said no, there's no way they're going to be the worst team or even the fifth worst team, but you know, this is definitely rebuilding, you know, time
20.
For them. Locked after Ben Davis. Right. So, what do you think? Where do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of end, you know what I'm saying? What did their season look like so far?
Yeah, my thought process, and to recap it real quick, Dan Dockett says the Steelers were the fifth worst team in the league and really didn't come up with any facts besides the fact of, well, they got those three in there at quarterback, so that's why they're the fifth worst team. Okay, Dan, did you not forget about this defense? The defense is solid returning. T.J. Watt. He also said, John, that T.J. Watt had a horrible career or horrible season last year. Wasn't it last year he was defensive player of the year? Or he led the league
correct.
In sacks with 20-something, almost 20-something sacks?
Correct.
So I question that. Now, granted, they're not going to be the greatest team in the world. They sure as hell ain't going to be the worst team in the world. I got them slotted somewhere probably 17 through 22, probably. Okay, got 30 teams in the NFL or 32. They ain't the bottom five whatsoever.
Right.
You still got the Jets, you still got the Giants, you still got the Commanders, you still have the Bears. Sorry, Chicago fans. Seattle is going to be trash with Drew Locke as their quarterback. You still got the Houston Texans. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Are we really sure about some of the injuries that Denver has taken here lately, that they're not going to be a bad team.
I think they're going to be good.
You know?
I think they'll be good.
Well,
I really don't know.
That's the division. That's a little bit harder division. You know what I
mean? Well, good.
Try to navigate the...
Good as in better than last year.
Okay.
I still like their wide receivers. I like Jerry Jeudy. I know they just lost Tim Patrick to a torn ACL, so he's out for the season.
Yep.
But I
yep.
still like Jeudy in there. I still like that running game. The defense is still there. So I think with Russ, it's obviously an upgrade. They can't – are they – I hate to say it, John. They that might be the most competitive division in football this year.
Not, yeah, because now Seattle is no longer. So the Rams and the San Francisco 49ers will be battling out for that. Yeah, so I'll go for that.
I think the Raiders are going to be vastly improved. I think the Broncos are going to be vastly improved. The Chargers are good. The Chiefs are good. Those four teams, man. But I still think, you look at the four, who's going to be left out? I still think it's going to be Denver, but they're going to be vastly improved from last year. But so you look at those teams. And even as you look at the NFC, the Lions are still trash. Sorry. I met Dan Campbell
man.
A couple months ago. I watched Hard Knocks last night. I talked to one of my Detroit Lions fans.
If they can get seven wins, they'll build a Campbell up for Dan Campbell for seven wins. I think they can get to six or seven wins this year.
Stop it.
Detroit.
Stop it.
I'm serious.
Five. They'll be at five, four or five. So.
Oh wow.
I mean, you still know who runs that NFC North. We already know. So you're losing two there. You're probably losing two. And it's just looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, looking at camp. Latest out of camp right now is Mitch Trubisky. He's QB1. Mitch Trubisky's got the job. He's throwing well. I just watched him yesterday. And I know it was bad practice against this defense, but he threw eight just flat out strikes to George Pickens. George Pickens isn't going to be a name to watch out for. He's got talent.
Right.
Yeah. He's got talent. Now he needs to, it's up to the Steelers to develop the rest of his skill set. Tomlin even said that today. But the guy, John, he's got the ability to have a better career than Antonio Brown. He's got the ability. Obviously, Antonio Brown came from Central Michigan. So coming out of college, you really didn't know what to expect with Antonio Brown. But George Pickens is looking good. You still got Deontay Johnson. We just talked. Deontay Johnson just signed a two-year contract last week for $32 million.
Right.
So he's back. You got Pat Freiermuth in there. The only question is the quarterback. And, you know, we kind of said that last year too, right? That your only question was the quarterback with Ben. Steelers still made the playoffs last year. And, you know, is it going to be a fantastic Pittsburgh Steelers season we've had in the past? No, probably not. It's time to take our lumps this year. It's a rebuilding year, and everybody knows this in Pittsburgh, and every win's I will probably bet on the Steelers in a lot of games just because they're going to be plus money, and I got a good chance to make some money on
right.
them this year. But
right.
I'm okay with Mitch Trubisky being their starter. You're slowly – Kenny Pickett will get in there. I think it's going to be more of a midseason towards that final, like, week 12 on that Pickett gets
right.
in there. And barring an injury, Mason Rudolph gets in there at all. But – John, they ain't going to be one of the top.
They won games.
They ain't
going to
be the worst type team.
That's what I was trying to tell our frenemy idiot, Dan Dawkins, man. Like, they've won games with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
They're bringing along, you know what I'm saying, Pickett slowly. I'm not even a Steelers fan. I just know the law of the land. I know the lay of the land. I know what I know. I know Mike Thomson technically hasn't had any – I lose the season in, like, how many years, right? Somebody do the Google search on that. This could be – his first losing season, but by far they won't be a 3-4 win team. That's not going to happen.
22 and a half sacks last year for T.J. Watt, and Dan Dockett says that T.J. Watt had a horrible season. What? I mean, come on, Dan. you know, I sometimes, and we've talked about this off camera, off the air before. Sometimes I think he just spews shit to spew it out there, but he doesn't do enough quick enough jobs to sit there and find his facts to back it up. I think he's just throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks and what riles people up. Now, he didn't rile me up when he said the Steelers yesterday, because I watched it live yesterday morning when he did it. And I was just like, come on, Dan. Then you started saying something about it. And then I turned on the afternoon show, and he started talking about it there, and that's why I was like, all right. I let it slide in the morning, but now we're moving it to the afternoon. I mean, come on now.
The only thing, like I said, we still got teams that are terrible. Right, the only Achilles I'm going to say the Steelers are going to have, because they even addressed some more, like you said, the wideout position. I think they drafted another wideout, I thought. But also, though, they drafted another running back, I'm pretty sure. So they've addressed, you know what I'm saying, Bo. So there's no quarterback on that roster that's going to say, oh, man, I don't have any weapons. I don't have a defense and give me back. There's no excuse like that. What I will question about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Brandon, I'm sorry, is probably still like what's going on with the offensive line. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Is that as strong as it could be? Other than that, like they finished, like you said, Brandon, they finished what, second last year? Did they finish second in their division?
And second division went to the playoffs.
Yeah, still went to the playoffs. So if you can get, if anybody remembers Mr. Trubisky, he didn't necessarily lose his job in Chicago. That's the last time we really saw Mr. Trubisky in any type of competitive football, contest or whatnot. He didn't lose his job. He just wasn't that particular coach's guy. After a bit, I mean, I get it. They made some XYZ trades to get Mr. Trubisky or whatever, and he's going to be forever labeled as the guy that went number one when. Future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes went like number 10, right? That's going to be the Mr. Trubisky label. But that does not mean that Mr. Trubisky isn't a starting NFL quarterback, and that's what you have right there. Hell, the Colts at one point was like a portion of Colts fandom was wanting Mr. Trubisky to come here, if anybody remembers. So, like, you know, man, I was not to really put you or hell even Dan's freaking opinion on the spot here for our show. Usually it's me going back and forth with Dan. And he tweeted me back pretty quick. Well, there you go. You put the fear across World Sports in
it. Little blogger boy. Hashtag blogger boy. Yeah.
Right.
I want to talk Colts real quick. Matt Ryan ruffling some feathers at Colts practice. John, there's some Colts players apparently in the news that were saying that Matt Ryan's a jerk. Matt Ryan's an asshole. Not like, he's like, hey, why am I here to have fun and hang out and hoo-ha-ha? Like, I'm here to fucking win, you know? I'm here to go out here and do what we can to win the championship. Some Colts players, and I kind of side on Matt Ryan's side with it. Because, like, dude, I'm here. I got traded here. I'm here to win football games. I don't give a shit if I'm your friends or not. I'm here to win football games and see what I can do to finish my career. This might be the best shot besides that year he had in Atlanta where they were up 28-3. This might be his only left. He's got to win the Super Bowl. So I don't fault him at all being an asshole.
Like, I don't know. I've heard the same leaks, Brandon. Some of the media, he hasn't necessarily been a jerk to the media. So there's that. But as far as inside the locker room, perhaps some of the Colts, and it'd be interesting to see who of significance, who is actually the one that thinks he's a jerk or whatever. Like, but again, man, you know, we're trying to this. You said it. Matt Ryan is trying to get to as far as and deep into the playoff runs as he can. If anybody doesn't, who has a temperature of national news media and scouts and whatnot, believe the Colts with the right quarterback leadership can make a run. I know. We know Matt Ryan's not a spring chicken, okay? But he's ready, willing, able to, you know what I'm saying? He's seemingly not on a Phillip Rivers plan, if that makes sense. He seemingly is going to be here at least for two seasons. I could see it. At least two seasons, committed to it. And then while he's committed to those two seasons, man, he's trying to win. But you can't, you know what I'm saying, you can't win if everybody ain't on the same table. I mean, same, you know what I'm saying? In the same place, dude. So it's kind of interesting. Is it Jonathan Taylor? Couldn't be. Is it one of the wideouts? Couldn't be. They all seem like they're committed.
They're
so
way too young.
Right. So it's just, you know, a different voice. I mean, Matt Ryan, he's the leader now. So it might have rubbed some other pseudo leader the wrong way. And, you know what I'm saying, that would come off as a jerk. You know what I mean? Yeah. Matt Ryan's a jerk. Well,
maybe Shaq?
You know what I mean? So, Shaq. Shaq Leonard, Darius Leonard, like, I mean, other than his, like,
he's looking fine running on that sideline, didn't he?
Well, other than getting on it, I get it, man. The scout report come out of Coach camp is everything looks great with the Coach defense. Quiddy Pay looks like he's tucking the league. He gets it now. I'm not saying that's going to transcend into 10 sacks a game, but they're saying they feel like, and I've seen little bit pieces myself, that Quiddy Pay is a different player now. What happens on Sunday versus are you going to be more than a practice player is what the Colts need out of Quiddy Pay, right? More than a great practice player. And Ngakoue, they feeling like, you know what I'm saying, he's the ticket, like, you know what I'm saying, to their sack problem. The Colts didn't really necessarily have a takeaway problem at all. They have a problem getting to the quarterback. I think they were bottom third in quarterback sacks. And I get it, you know what I'm saying? Those names are out there that our defense is supposed to get it, but they didn't get the job done. Now we have another guy, you know what I'm saying, that has, like, I think he averages, like, this past five seasons, he averaged, like, seven sacks a year in Ngakoue. So,
yeah.
You know, the defense is, you know what I'm saying, they need, like, so, like, what would be the cherry on top? It would be Darius Leonard. It would be Shaq Leonard. And, like, right now, he's on, you know what I'm saying, pup list. We don't know what's going on. The coach know what's going on. They just not necessarily, like, open to tell you exactly. So, who knows, Brandon? I think they're just going to give him time to be ready when he wants to come back. He's probably, at this point in his career, Brandon, he probably don't want to go through the grind and the rigors of, you know what I mean? He's just as much as a diva as Aaron Rodgers. When it comes, he said some stuff that I almost passed out. He said, I don't think anybody should play a preseason game. And I'm like, oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers. You can't fall out of bed and throw 17 times. You know what I mean? They're like, you have to have some type of practice. But, again, I think at some point, Darius Leonard will probably, again, he'll make his return. Probably week one, he'll be ready.
Preseason game this Saturday, Bills, Colts up in Buffalo. It's a pick 'em. Spreads are out. It's a pick 'em. Man, I don't, do you trust, I mean, you go from Matt Ryan to Nick Foles or Sam Ellinger, one of the two. I don't know if I'm going to, somebody asked me if I was going to touch the game betting on it. It's so hard to bet on preseason football. I almost rather do baseball where I've been terrible at lately than.
I wouldn't touch that one, man. You never know how long a guy's gonna play a particular
series. I mean, I could probably take the under. I feel more better at the under than I do like a pick 'em of which team.
Yeah, but there's gonna be some great evaluation minutes, probably for you know what I'm saying, some of the wideouts out there. Even, I mean, it's the first game, so I wouldn't expect a whole lot. I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot of Jonathan Taylor. I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot of. What's the other running back that they have that they're going to use as a wide out? I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot of him. Yeah. I wouldn't expect to see a whole lot of
Naheem
him.
Naheem Hines,
yeah, I would see. But you know, hell, how many? The coach got like four running backs on the roster. So, I you're going to see a lot of handoff. You might see Sam Ellinger get out there and sling it for sure. See if he can take the team down. You know what I'm saying, more than twice, you know what I mean? A couple series. So, you know, first game of the preseason, you know what I mean, is to basically get the rust out.
Let me ask you this. NFC East, what DEFCON are we at right now with the Dallas Cowboys?
What do you mean, Brandon? As far as McCarty has to get to the he has
like what do we got? What do the Cowboys? What do they got to do this
Brandon,
year?
He has to get to the they got to the NFC Championship game. He has to get to, or they're going to fire him, and from who's basically working for ESPN in a holding pattern anyway, Mr. New Orleans, formerly of the New Orleans, yeah, Sean Payton, yeah. But if he gets to the NFC Championship game, now if he gets to the Super Bowl, man, he's like, you know, coach is good. He's rock solid. But if he gets to, the NFC Championship East game, you know what I'm saying, it'll be 50-50. But again, they should dominate their division again.
Let me just ask you a couple things. Cowboys or Bucks?
What Bucks? The Buccaneers?
Yeah.
To win the NFC?
I'm just asking you theoretically.
You about
Dallas Cowboys or Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
It's like, man. Remember that? They had that shootout last year, the first game of the season.
Yep.
And people had it in their minds. Oh man, this is Dallas shit, dude. Dallas, like, I'm gonna say Dallas, especially with Tom Brady losing another. I think he lost a center yesterday. To a knee yesterday, so he's losing more offensive linemen. He's gonna be begging Gronkowski to come back and help block by week three. He's gonna be begging Gronkowski
Dallas.
Come back. But like, no, man, I take Dallas. I'm gonna take Dallas.
Dallas or the Green Bay Packers?
Man, nobody chokes bigger than Lambeau Field and Aaron Rodgers. So, man. Nobody chokes bigger than Lambeau Field era, but like that's still through the
only other team that chokes that much is the Cowboys.
True. Well, as much. Yeah.
I think it's different, man.
Like Aaron Rodgers, they'll go 12-5 or whatever, you know, 13 when it was 16 games, 13-3, and dominate their division. And then we then have everybody thinking out at Cheesehead Nation, even the folks that, you know, outside of the Green Bay area, that they're getting ready to, you know what I'm saying? And then somebody comes up to their home and they lay an egg against an on-road opponent. It baffles my mind. Dallas, it's like they with the bigger the game, the wetter the bed's going to get. The bigger the game, the wetter the bed's going to get. But, you know, again, They're steady, easy. Like they come in, it doesn't matter on the road. They're good on the road. They're good at home. But if they play like a big time opponent, expect them to fail. So I don't know. You asked about the NFC. You also got to throw out the San Francisco 49ers.
Cowboys or 49ers? That was my next.
Because again, I would go San Francisco over there, man. Because again, I trust the quarterback room just a little bit. I'm not saying he's better. I'm not saying Jimmy G is better than Dak Prescott, but I trust that quarterback room.
Well, let me ask you this. I feel like you just did a little disrespect there because you threw out the 49ers against Dallas. But what about the Super Bowl champions, the Rams?
What's going on? What's funky, what I'm hearing about, what's going on with the hurting in Stafford's arm? You know what I mean? It's kind of concerning. Just a little bit. He's a guy that's, you know what I'm saying, a tough guy, you know what I'm saying, we know from, you know what I'm saying, the black and blue seasons he played in Detroit, he'll go out there and try to win your ball game, but, you know what I'm saying, it's harder the second time around. That's what I'll say. It's harder the second time around. A lot of think about it, but remember, and everybody listening, a lot of those games the Rams played on the edge, man, they could have went the other way. Especially against the San Francisco 49ers.
And the Bucks.
Yeah, it could have went the other way.
Okay. I wanted to get your feel there. Did you watch any of Hard Knocks last night?
I did not, man. I'm hoping that the Detroit Lions can double their double their win count to seven games this year. So we shall see. I'll tune it in.
He says, okay, man, we're going to be – like his opening thing, I was just like, what? I mean, I like Dan Campbell. I met him this summer. His daughter had a volleyball camp here in Indianapolis. I got to meet him. Actually, I got to drive his truck. But very cool dude. I wished him well this year. I hope they do well. I got some friends that are Detroit Lion fans, and we'll see.
Well, you don't get the impression that he's
sexy at all.
Yeah, you don't get the impression that Dan Campbell is a personality and not a coach, do you? Somebody put that in front of me, and I was like, man, I didn't see that. But they think that he was selling his personality more so.
And on the show, yes, for sure.
Okay.
We saw more about the coach than the players on that show this week, which it could be just a good intro, and then next week we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's just practices this time. Like somebody said, like he's saying they're doing up-downs to start practice, and he's doing 45 up-downs with the team. Yeah, that's like, oh, look at coach. He's in there. But shouldn't he be watching, like they said, should he be watching the rest of the team, making sure they're doing their part? Here's my problem with them, John. Here's my problem. If you look at their coaching staff, they've got a lot of former ex-players on that coaching staff, on that coaching roster. They don't necessarily have the coaching experience, successful coaching experience on that team, kind of what you need on a program that's trying to get on the up and up.
Right.
You know, let me give him a second here. Let me get this. I'll give you some of them. I like Deuce Staley. He was an assistant in Pittsburgh for a year or so as well. Deuce Staley, the assistant head coach and running back. Aaron Glenn used to be a cornerback for the Jets, defensive coordinator. Watching them in their practice, them just going talking trash talking the whole time. Yeah, it's cute, it's funny, but is that really gonna get them Lions kind of going? You know, like the players. I don't know. You got Mark Brunell. Mark Brunell is the quarterback's coach. You got some other guys, offensive linemen that are there. My boy Antoine Randall-El, he's the wide receivers coach. Like a lot of former players are here. So I feel like you need more of like that successful coaching talent and maybe not just a players team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes players would be, you say players would sometimes be too soft on other players.
Yeah. So potentially. We'll see. What else I got for you NFL wise?
We got to talk about our neighbors to the west. This is Crossroads Sports, so we got to talk about our neighbors to the west.
The Bears,
the Chicago Bears. Uh-oh. Yeah, I said on Twitter this past week, man, that it sounds like a hot mess, man. I know it's not though, but it's sounding real like a real hot mess, man. You know, we got a 25-year-old, a 2-time All-Pro, in Roquan Smith. You know what I'm saying? Is he a dynamic middle linebacker? Not necessarily, but he does get the job done. You know what I'm saying? As far as tackling is concerned, just not a sack machine. Just not a real turnover machine. But he asked, you know, Brandon, he asked the Bears for, like, Darius Leonard money. But let's remember, folks, he might have more tackles than Darius Leonard. He don't have more takeaways. He's not and again, man, I'm not saying who's better than in this particular. I'm just saying, you know, say a guy that they brought into their they brought up through their ranks, they drafted, and I get it. That was another regime that was running the program or whatever, right? But Brandon, how do you get rid of a 25-year-old 2-time All-Pro? How do you tell him like, no, we don't want your services? When I just told you, man, like he. He's great and tough.
Well, I don't know if they actually told him that or if he just felt disrespected that he, quote, wasn't felt valued. I mean, I'd like to know more of a definition of why he wasn't feeling valued.
Well, it becomes somewhat of a hot mess because Eberflus is now the head coach. He was one-time Colts defensive coordinator. You would think, you know what I'm saying, he would love, right? You would think he would love a guy like Roquan Smith. But again, that didn't get funneled up to the front office. And the front office is, again, from the Kansas City Chiefs, you know what I'm saying? A family tree is what they've kind of put into place here, the general manager right now. And then, you know, the whole deal with the Bears. Again, the only reason I call it a hot mess because, again, they have a lot of internal space. And then Jenkins. How can I forget? The right tackle, or he's a tackle, is unhappy with the structure of his, not necessarily his contract, because I think he's like a second or third year player, but he's unhappy with, like, the scheme that they're going to be running this year. Well, here's what I say is a hot mess, Brandon. They cannot be happy, neither the front office nor the players, about the last two seasons, how the last two seasons have gone on, right? They cannot be happy anyway. Chicago is a team that, you know what I'm saying, is seemingly, at least in the modern era, is always, you know what I'm saying, got something to say about who wins, you know what I'm saying, whatever division, you know what I'm saying, the North Division, or who goes to, you know what I'm saying, to the playoffs. And again, they're a major player in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? If you talk about some of the top 10 franchises, you have to, you know what I'm saying, remember the Chicago Bears are there, right there, right? You kind of wanted to hear a little bit more hopefulness going into this season. Okay, again, now, you know what I'm saying, we got a new page, we got a new fresh start. We know we got a great young dynamic quarterback. We know we didn't do enough in free agency to get him weapons. We addressed some things in the draft, but my goodness, man, it's like, you know, once everybody's looking around, okay, we know we're going to have a shitty season, now everybody wants to pout, everybody wants to complain. You know what I mean? Or everybody wants to run to the media. Oh, I feel undervalued. Or it might be the case. But I'm saying, Brandon, like, if you compare his stats to Darius Leonard's stats, like, they don't necessarily add up when it comes to, yes, he's young, yes, he's a two-time All-Pro, but he does not necessarily give you takeaways on the field. So, I don't know, Brandon.
Do you have the Giants have more wins than the Bears this year?
You said the Giants or the who? The Bears?
No. Do you have more wins for the Lions or the Bears?
Oh, actually, I do. I do, man. I do.
Damn.
Chicago, I do.
I'm sorry.
I do. I had said 3 to 4 wins for the Bears, and you know what I'm saying? I almost got cussed out because Tamika, you know what I'm saying, my fiance is from Gary. Man, like, dude, you can't disrespect the Bears like that. You got to give them at least 3 extra games. You know what I mean? But like, nah, man, I don't know. I don't think everybody's on the same page here. And, you know what I'm saying, that's unfortunate because, again, I'm not necessarily rooting or against Eberflus. You know what I'm saying? He's from the quote-unquote family tree or whatever, right? But, you know, the Bears didn't necessarily have this. They didn't have the assets to make a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, moves in free agency. They're still paying on some terrible contracts, right, long the two contracts. So a lot of these things would be, you know what I'm saying, remedied year after. But again, man, how do you piss off your 2-time all pro to the point where he wants to automatically go talk to the media and blah, I feel disrespected or whatever, whatever the case may be. So I don't know. I just want to talk about our neighbors to the west and we fulfilled that. So,
okay. I'll bring on real quick. Decon, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? Y'all doing okay today?
Doing well.
Yeah, doing a lot of NFL talk, man. I don't know if you all got into the NFC East other than Dallas, but I think that Philadelphia is a team to look out for this year. They drafted well the last 2 seasons, other than Ben Rager. And I think this is Jalen Hurts' year to make a difference, if either he's going to be an NFL quarterback or not. They got him the weapon from Tennessee. They got a strong running game. They solidified their defensive line, too. So, and I'm not a Philadelphia fan by any stretch, but I think they did a lot in the offseason to surround Jalen with winning players, and it's going to be interesting to see how he develops individually. Similar to the kid in Miami that also went to that school on the Southeast Conference. Those two guys have a lot to prove this year, right? But I really believe Philadelphia, I see 10 wins in Philly. I absolutely see at least 10 wins in Philly.
I can't refute that. Their success, you're right, hinges on the play of Jalen Hurts and him being able to make, you know, some connectivity down the field. That's for darn sure. I'm going to say for sure, Tua Tagovailoa is a little bit more of a hotter seat. Both of them, even if they have a quote unquote poor season this year, you know what I'm saying, barring injury, they'll still be somebody still kind of covered their talents. You know, so somebody say, hey man, I can fix that or we can win with that. Because from what I see, both are still starting quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think that's a question mark anymore. They are both starting quarterbacks in them. But again, like you said, both teams in the offseason have put themselves in position, you know, and hell, Decon and Brandon, there's still moves that might be made. There's guys that might get traded. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
You got to run a Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. like I said, I mentioned Roquan Smith and the Bears being at odds. So there's still, like, pieces. I mean, there's still some, like, head scratchers out there that want Garoppolo gone out of San Francisco. So, again, there's still some potential pieces. And it, usually the NFL does all this player movement during during the draft time or, like, you know what I'm saying, during yeah. free agency time. And I think there might be some moves made during while the season happens.
And, Jonathan, you mentioned Kareem Hunt. This is really interesting, right? Cleveland took him up off the heat, man. They reinvented his career. Well, obviously his talent
yeah.
had to play a lot of big part in it also, but they took a risk. But, you know, and I understand it's Cleveland, and they need to do something right every year because they're never going to be good. But they took a risk on the PR hit on him, similar to they did the quarterback this year. And for
right.
him to out loud say that surprises me. For him to out loud say that surprises me. But it's the NFL, and the only way to get something done for yourself as a player is speak for yourself, because that horrible union is not going to help you. They're going to continue to handcuff these players year in and year out. So that's why I think these guys, he and Roquan Smith, are speaking up. Because if you don't speak, as Mama used to say, if you don't speak up for yourself, nobody else will. And I think that's a play in the NFL, right? So that's my
right.
thought on those guys. You know, we can transition. I want to hit my Pacers quickly because I was looking on listening to some podcasts, and I didn't realize that with the bottom line of cap is at $111 million a season. The Pacers are currently at 94 and some change. So they've got to add some salary, which is why, and it's, I forget the guy who I listened to, which is why the Pacers are even entertaining the Russell Westbrook deal because of that dollar amount, right?
Right.
So don't be surprised if late summer, you know, just before break camp, the Pacers do something with Russell Westbrook, not because of talent, selling tickets, any of that, simply because they're currently about 18 million under the threshold for bottom, right? Bottom out at salary cap. They've got to do something. They got all these young players, and they've got to add a big. That's why they went balls to the wall for the DeAndre Ayton, for Ayton because of that.
Right.
So when they missed that, that's when the talk of Westbrook came up again. So I mean, listen, you know where I stand from a Pacer perspective. I don't want to see Westbrook ever in a Pacers uniform. However, the Pacers, the mess that Larry Bird and Pritchard created, they've got to do something to fix this issue. And the issue, the only way to fix it is adding salary. And that's why they talked
right.
about getting the kid from Brownsburg to play the Butler. I mean, you got to get – what they're going to do, they're going to bring in so much trash from a salary.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where we are from a Pacer perspective. I hate it, but – I got educated on it, man, and there won't be much of a choice. Now fans will be talking, I told you you'll get Westbrook. I told you. It's not about Westbrook. It's not about the Lakers. The Pacers have to do
right.
something to the tune of about $18
million. They got to use the cap. Right. They got to use the cap.
Yeah, so that's the transition for my Pacers. What do you guys think about that? I mean, if that's the case, you bring Westbrook in and you buy him out, what do you do?
You try to flip that contract into some more. You gotta basically absorb his contract. So you can't really flip his contract into something else.
Yeah,
right.
You can't do it. Yeah.
No, man. I'll just let him play.
Play the year. This ain't the year that we're gonna do anything anyway. So just let him play the year and let him go on his way.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, man. So I don't want to keep talking about my Pacers from that standpoint because it's kind of sad. That we're in that situation. Now we're transitioning to the NCAA. Oh, go ahead, Bobby.
No, man. Other than Kevin Durant acting crazy again.
check this out, Jonathan. You said that right. So, do you know that they're talking about now? KD is a cancer. Now he's a cancer. He's a terrible guy because he said fire the coach and the GM. Oh, what about when he said bring this guy in and those same people did it, right? So now he's a bad guy.
He put this thing together.
well, he suggested this thing. you know, the ownership and the front office still have the call, right?
God, you can't listen. I don't like to compare it to what LeBron did it or that type of stuff. But this is what Kevin Durant did. Kevin Durant left a happy home. They let him play. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. They didn't let he played. They got paid and sent home for $19 million, right? The first year he signed
the
book.
Because of the Achilles injury. Let's remember that.
Then they said, you know what? That coach that y'all have, what was it? Jock Vaughn? Not good enough. Got rid of Jock Vaughn. You know, so Jock Vaughn that came through the whole Kansas system and came through how many years with the Spurs? And won a championship with the Spurs. Come on, man. Jock Vaughn's not
right.
Great. So that's on that side. Okay, man. And then, you know, get Kyrie Irving to come over here. Get James Harden to come over here. But remember, who they traded for. They traded away. Caris LeVert. And I know, you know what I'm saying, Caris LeVert did a cup of coffee with us. But they traded away Caris LeVert. They traded away Jared Allen, the kid, you know what I'm saying, with the tremendous upside
right,
in Cleveland.
Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie in Dallas, with the Dallas, right?
Yeah, Dinwiddie, another, like, surprise, like, you know what I'm saying, real strong guard, you know what I'm saying, went to Dallas. What else? And then wanted to re-sign DeAndre Jordan? You know what I'm saying? Guys that couldn't play, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Kevin Durant, this is his bed, man. So, but at this point,
let me ask
though,
you this, John.
Go ahead.
I know everybody keeps talking Durant. I don't think Ben Simmons deserves to get a pass either. I mean, the dude was in a group text, said, "Hey, you ready to play?" And he 69'd himself out of that text. See ya.
I get that, he can't handle it. At what point, to your point, though, Johnson, about the KD situation when he first came over, that deal that New Jersey made was to bring Kyrie over. That wasn't their year, and they knew it. They were opening up the Barclays Center and said, we've got to do something. We've got to compare ourselves to the Knicks. They were desperate, just like a lot of franchises are. They see it. And say, oh, here's our opportunity.
Yeah.
They didn't take their time and think. I blame the franchise because they brought over a KD who came off of an Achilles injury. They had a decent nucleus of players, and they didn't have the patience. You know why? Because we have to win in New York. Do you realize you're in New Jersey and you haven't won anything? New Jersey's
Stop
done
it.
Nothing but bring Dr. J to the NBA. Stop
this
it. So, well, I'll still call him New Jersey. So the point being is you can't act like you've been there before if you've never been there before. Patience is a virtue. They failed their fans, and they failed because they tried to make something happen that wasn't there. They tried to manufacture something, and they get
right,
what they
Kevin
get.
Durant, Kevin Durant's power play got out-power played, unfortunately, for him. And he'll probably think about it is, though, it doesn't appear that the Brooklyn Nets are going to just trade him for collateral. So both of you are all students of the game, right? We know the Kevin Garnett. Remember the Kevin Garnett trade that sent Kevin Garnett to Boston? A lot of those players are collateral. You can't. There's nobody that there's guys that I know, but there's nobody. None of those guys turned into an all-star. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, did one of those picks turn into Kevin Love? Maybe, but again, you know what I'm saying? We're not just trading. So, like, nobody's trading. Nobody's making those type of deals anymore. If you want Kevin Durant, I think they want an all-star in return.
Right.
And that's a fair request.
That's a fair request.
That's going to mess up any type of super team, and I hate that term. That's going to mess up any type of conversation about him getting to Phoenix unless you give up Devin Booker or Chris Paul.
Tonight, he can't be traded
for his contract, like in the first calendar year.
Before we came on the air, it was mentioned that by Chris Haynes, NBA Chris Haynes, that Durant has interest in playing with Harden again. So obviously that'd be Philadelphia. You would have to throw in Maxey. You'd have to throw in Harris. Probably a couple of first round picks to send to Brooklyn, but And we're dealing with this again, that Durant says he'd like to play with Harden again. I'm like, come on now. Like, have we not done this two times
what
already?
What are you thinking, right? What are you thinking at this point? But that's
I guess
that
he's thinking he'd rather have Embiid than Kyrie. He's more reliable.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But the thing is, though, it has to be a realistic expectation. If Philadelphia does this, that's going to put them back years. It's like what the same thing with New Jersey. The same thing that happened with them when they traded those guys to Boston. When Boston traded KG, Paul Pierce, those guys to Boston.
Right.
You got to be careful of being desperate. If you're not going to win it, if you're not in the plane to say we're a top five team, you probably should hit the brakes a little bit, because that's just the reality of it. Unless you catch a break here, catch a break there, and then there's an injury. But you can't bank on an injury from a guy's perspective to say this is why we did it, because that team may have a guy that gets hurt. I don't think that's a realistic expectation. And if I'm a New Jersey Nets fan, I'm not really happy with anything that they've done this year or last year, to be quite honest. You know, and you bring in Steve Nash, who's a nice guy that everybody says he's a nice guy. I just didn't see the difference-making ability and managing those egos. And he was a star player.
I think Durant probably
wants
– if he really wants him out of there, I think Durant's got that bigger picture. I think he probably wants – I mean, look at the who's free, who's out there. Yeah, Quinn Snyder, he's out there, a proven coach.
Yeah.
So bring him into Brooklyn.
What about a guy that's been everywhere and fixes everything? He was in Houston. He was the hardest coach in Houston. No, not the greatest coach of all time.
D'Antoni?
Not the greatest coach of all time. D'Antoni.
Larry Brown's the greatest coach of all time. Oh, wow.
In my absolute opinion. Now, I'm talking about basketball.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not saying NBA. I said coach, period. That's my
opinion. Okay.
Listen, leave Larry Brown out of this. Don't bully me now. Okay?
I'm
talking about D'Antoni. D'Antoni, he's a guy who's come into places, fix things up, and just where it falls apart, he leaves, right? Maybe D'Antoni's the guy for New Jersey.
Oh, man. I don't know about him.
I'm not saying he should be. What I'm saying is this is a guy who's
there was rumor
been
about that, though,
a lot.
Decott. There was rumor that they was going to – he was with them at first.
He's the assistant coach.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't even realize he was an assistant coach in New Jersey. But he's a guy that you've seen. He's probably coached 12 teams in the league. I bet he's probably coached at least double
feels
digits.
Feels like it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I got more faith.
Right. I got more faith in D'Antoni's ability than Steve Nash. But it's, I don't know. You're taking too much weight off the star player for not showing up and showing out
his money's guaranteed. That's going to be what it's going to be. I mean, that's not just a non-negotiable, right? So, I mean, you're right. I agree. He's not reliable. He's aloof. He's distant and all those things. And also, he's got a guaranteed contract that they're going to pay him. And guess what? They're going to kiss his ass this year to do everything they can to make it work, because they know there's no other star players going to come voluntarily to New Jersey unless there's something heavy there waiting on them. Ben Simmons?
Do you put together a Cam Johnson and Booker deal for Kevin Durant?
I wouldn't do it, because Kevin Durant, while I love his game for sure, I don't see his game being what it is in 4 years, right? With his contract time, right?
The West is winnable. It's competitive, very competitive though, but it's winnable.
Yeah.
Could they get over the hump? Beat the Golden State Warriors?
I don't think so either. I didn't think Phoenix was the lead dog last year. I just saw too many holes in their game. What I mean by that is too many down the court, 4 seconds off the clock threes. When you make them, you look like a hero. And I saw a lot of that.
That's right up Kevin Durant's alley.
Yeah, but he's got to have more help than that, though. I just don't know that they've got enough. Yeah, they would have a good team. I mean, listen, let's not act like Chris Paul is 28. He's closer to 40, right? So So I just think their time, their window, their window is with the team they've got, is what I believe. And again, if they do it, great. But I just don't see that happening, right? But listen, I'd be remiss, man. I know we gave these guys more time than my Pacers. That should be blasphemy by itself. Let's talk NCAA football real quick. Now, I don't want to hit NIL because I sent y'all those links, right? But let's talk Big Ten Super Conference, SEC Super Conference. You know who's going to be on the outside looking in on all of this, in my humble opinion? I got to
say Notre Dame.
Your Clemson Tigers are going to be out on the outside looking in when all this is said and done. Because
I don't think
conferences
so.
Are going to – I believe conferences would be willing to take Miami – and or Florida State or some combination of that beyond Clemson. I just don't see the love for Clemson, right? And I'm not talking about just on the national media or anything like that. I don't see the love for bringing this group over here with us. Miami, you got that cachet. Florida State's got that cachet. I just see something along those lines happening, right? I'm not saying Clemson won't go to one of those conferences, but I just think if there's going to be a big-name school on the outside looking in, I think that big name school is going to be Clemson. You know, I think Clemson's fine,
Decon. I'm sorry. I wish I could agree. I was with you a little bit. I mean, let's think about it real quick. Clemson, they're going to Missouri and Vanderbilt aren't the cachets. So
right,
Clemson's a hell of a lot more cachet than them.
Well, they're homegrown and they're not going anywhere. They've got squatters.
Whoa, Missouri's right? Not homegrown. Missouri's Big 12.
Let me rewind. Vandy's homegrown. Missouri's in. They're not going to kick them out. They came in at the weakness, right? And they came in the back door, and nobody saw them. They did something the first year when they got to the SEC title game, and since then they've been Rutgers of the Big Ten. And unfortunately, SEC made a mistake with them, just like the Big Ten made a mistake with Rutgers. But I'll tell you this. When they keep talking about this $1 billion for the Big Ten bringing in, I tell you this, I just don't want to hear these old fogies. I forget his name. It comes off the top of my head. Talking about players and NIL making $20,000-$30,000 a year. When you're talking about $1 billion in the Big Ten and splitting it among schools like Rutgers, like Maryland, like Nebraska. Are you kidding me? You can't have it both ways. These guys, they're nothing but a glorified pimps. They're pimps, and they're pimping out to the highest to the highest bidder. That's what it is. It's fair. If the NCAA and conferences can do it, I'm good with Johnny Jones, who's a second string running back at University X, to go somewhere else and make more money. That's my take on it. I tell you, I'm sticking with it because I see it. The hypocrisy is more and more, and they have the audacity to say the coach in Carolina.
Brad, I'm gonna be a little bit more positive than Decott. I'm gonna say the Big Ten is cool with where they are right now as far as expansion is concerned. They're not looking to cherry pick off anybody else's. Definitely not anymore the California schools. I don't know if the Big Ten is going to be allowed to come back to California after 2024. I think the battle lines are kind of drawn. The Big Ten Network is going to be exclusively. NBC. Isn't it Brandon? Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it NBC and CBS? Will be
Fox,
doing
Fox Sports, CBS, and NBC, and then it was reported today.
Right?
Yeah, no more ESPN. It was reported today that, and I put this on Twitter a couple nights ago when this news broke, Notre Dame loves the fact of the deal between the Big Ten and NBC. I'm telling you, hand-in-hand marriage right there. That when they announced that, that opened the door wide open for Notre Dame
to
take two steps in.
That's family, exactly. That's family. And I think this is the time for Notre Dame to make the move. You're talking about $1 billion. Yes, you print money at Notre Dame. But if you're ever going to go to a conference, it's not going to be put on the tee any easier than right now.
Decott, Brandon, they're not joining the conference. They're not joining the conference.
They are,
they're
John. John, the AD's even saying that he loves it.
They're loyal.
If they don't do it, if they don't
they
do it,
the
if they don't do it now.
NBC must be Catholic.
No,
I don't know.
There's no loyalty.
Well,
in
John, NBC is in bed with the Big Ten. They're signing this mega deal. That way they can stay on NBC.
Notre Dame gets a check already from NBC and the ACC. That's
but
how
not
they get
the amount.
Money.
But not the amount that they're going to get if they join the Big Ten.
They're not
it's
doing
bigger.
$1 billion.
They're not joining the Big Ten.
John, I just read an article in the Wall Street Journal today. They would stand to profit more. They would get $54 million more per year by joining the Big Ten and the NBC network than they would on their own. $54 million.
Can you imagine how much NIL money you can get out of that?
But hold
on,
you guys have forgotten. You guys have already. We already have natural born rivalries. Two big games with Michigan already. And USC. Hold on. And USC. We already have natural blood rivals with two Big Ten schools. Why would I join the Big Ten? My money's coming. My money comes from my big money games, right? Yes or no? Right? So Michigan, I know they haven't played them in Michigan and USC.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I'm telling you now. Notre Dame.
Mark my word, they will be in the Big Ten Conference.
In the next two calendar seasons, you're going to hear this, Jonathan. Newsflash: Notre Dame goes to the Big Ten.
Yep. It's I actually agree with you on something. It's going to happen, John.
Notre Dame athletic director
even said it today. It's very appealing, and it would be stupid for us possibly to not join the Big Ten. When your athletic director says that, they've already had their talks now.
It's going to happen, man.
St. Peter Claver and the Pope said, that's who run Notre Dame.
Listen, John, you'll still be able to watch your Rutgers versus Penn State on Peacock.
Yeah.
You can still watch your Rutgers
and
Penn State.
Rutgers and Nebraska.
Oh, my God.
Rutgers and Nebraska.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
On Peacock.
Two top 300 schools, right? There you go.
Oh my
but no, but no, in all seriousness, I look forward to seeing what happens there, right? Because again, I'm liking the Super Conference. I like the chaos, and what that's going to do, that's going to help the players. Look for this. Look for there to be talks coming soon within the next calendar year to negotiate with the players on payment.
Sure.
Next calendar year. Book it. Mark the tape. Within the next calendar year, there will be collective bargaining, the NCAA and the players.
Yeah.
It's coming.
The NFL
it's
model's coming. Yep.
Yeah. It's there anyway, right? So, yeah, that's going to be some good stuff, man. I look forward to it. And I know you guys got probably that loser online probably.
No, he's not. We had other people.
Okay, well, go ahead and take care of them. I don't want to hog the show. And I didn't say the school that's to the east of Mississippi.
You know,
so I didn't say that school. Yeah, I'm thinking in my head. I'm watching a show on TV that got me distracted. But anyway, shut up. Don't even ask. So, look, appreciate you guys. I'm going to continue to listen, and I'll be chiming on you guys on Twitter with some of my wonderful, great opinions.
Absolutely.
Right. Sounds good, D-Cott.
You guys
Thanks,
be
sir.
Safe, man.
All right, John. That's D-Cott, our guy. D-Cott loving it. Hey, Nas. Call back, my man. We'll get you on. I saw you were on there on hold. We'll get you back on. Call back in. I wanted to hear Nas's take because he fired up on that call. I guarantee he had some good NFL talk coming on. I always like when he calls in. So, Nas, if you're listening, call back, my man. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, John, so we talked about the Big Ten. We talked about Durant. LeBron and the Lakers have had a productive talk on an extension. I don't know if LeBron really wants to go back to the Lakers. Apparently they had another – how many closed-door meetings in the offseason can one organization have that now apparently they're going to funnel the offense through Anthony Davis, which that sounds fine and dandy, but is street clothes going to be able to stay on the court for a season?
Everything probably hinges on the Russell Westbrook trade and what kind of complimentary players they get back in return. The quicker as we approach training camp, again, nobody with a professional opinion really believes that Miles Turner is going to be a Pacer come week one, like, you know what I'm saying, outside of a preseason game maybe, but nobody really believes Miles Turner is going to be a Pacer, you know what I'm saying, for the rest of this season. The same can be said about Russell Westbrook being a Laker. There's some other names that are probably going to get bantied about in a trade. Maybe Aaron Nesmith, maybe Buddy Hield gets moved as well. But those are kind of complimentary players. The Lakers are kind of like, you know what I'm saying, chopping at the bit, you know what I'm saying, shooters that they would want to have to either run offense where it goes inside out through Anthony Davis or even LeBron, you know what I'm saying, who plays somewhat sometimes the inside-out game. So, no, man, I think neither one of these ball clubs will let it be a distraction going into the season. I think there'll be a play. It's going to be, you know what I'm saying, right as preseason starts or right during as the preseason's over that we see one of those contracts, Miles Turner and Westbrook get moved.
Okay. John, I've been watching, I don't know if you've been keeping up with it or not, but I've been watching the Derek Jeter documentary, Captain, on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I'm through.
Mm-hmm.
We got the last two episodes are coming up, I believe, tomorrow night. Very good documentary. It's kind of like The Last Dance laid out kind of like that with Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well done. I thought it was a great insight on him and A-Rod, kind of the beef. And, you know, it kind of my fiance even said, you know, Jeter kind of sounds like an asshole a little bit just from some of his comments and the beefs he got into and all this. And I agree with some of it, but also that's just Jeter being Jeter.
Right.
I thought it was hilarious. She couldn't believe that he gave a gift basket full of memorabilia signed after whatever female of the night he had at his house would leave, and in the limo would be a basket full of memorabilia. That's kind of funny. He says it's not true, so I don't want to slander him, but he says it's not true. But it's interesting with A-Rod. If you get a chance to watch it on ESPN Plus, whatever, it'll be on ESPN as well. But Derek Jeter doc. Check it out. I thought it was really, really good. Baseball-wise, John, the playoffs are getting close. Teams are heating up. Teams are slumping. The Yankees are in a tailspin, complete tailspin since the All-Star break. They just lost again today to Seattle. They lost three in a row, got swept by the Cardinals early last week. I think they're like 14-31 or so since the All-Star break. That doesn't sound about right, but 14-20-something since the All-Star break. They're going one way. The Mets are opposite directions. Mets are Metsing right now. They just beat my Reds again today. I took some money on them, so the Mets are rolling. They just won a huge series against the Braves, 4 out of 5, over the weekend. That was a huge series. I'm loving it as baseball steps up. We're getting into the pennant races, the division races. I did read today because they have added a new playoff position in their collective bargaining. There is another playoff spot available. The top two teams in each division or each conference, AL and NL, each league gets a bye. And I also did read on the tiebreakers. This is new to this year. There is no more if they are tied at the end of the season. There is no more 106 game 163. Playoff game tiebreaker. They do not go up. They're going off a tiebreaker based on records and all that other crack mathematical. There is no more 1-3, which sucks.
I thought the one game for it all, man, that added more experience. I mean, you
exactly.
know,
exactly. That's what I thought. But now that they've added another playoff team, and now, well, here's their reasoning from what I read today. The both wild card series now are best out of three. And they're going to be played on back-to-back-to-back nights, three straight nights if it goes all three games, because they don't want the first place and second place teams that have the byes, they don't want them to have too much rest to where it's a disadvantage, apparently. I don't know. I know everybody's going to raise hell if we get two teams tied. I know everybody didn't read the article I read, and this is going to be two teams tied for the division, and somebody's going to raise hell because there is no game 163 for it all on Monday.
They're going to do something kooky mathematical.
On a Monday afternoon, why couldn't you have game 163? Oh, my God. Come on.
Man, people were hyped around it. There was a lot of interest around it, man. You know, I thought it was, I guess it kind of fools with some of the histrionics of baseball because if a guy hits a home run, then he got an extra. How many times did he get it? Or if a guy throws a no-hitter, how many times did that person get they basically got an extra game to do it. You know what I mean? So, but that's still, again, that's silly. You put it in, people kind of dug it. The people who are like me are like hardcore historians. They dug it. So I don't know, man. Baseball, they take two steps forward and then they take 10 steps back.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I am. Wow. Man, lightning is getting – somebody needs to get lightning under control. People are getting just struck every day by lightning right now that's caught on camera. I just watched one and just got today. Four people underneath a tree, lightning just struck, and three of them just fell straight to the ground. Like they got
– Really?
Yeah. I just,
where are you watching? Why are you watching struck by lightning videos, bro?
On Twitter.
Oh,
McAfee said it. And then the video, I'll tag you in it because it is something else. They all survived. I'll tell you that. All right, so
okay,
it's good to
good.
Do it. So I just tagged you on it. Check it out. But my goodness,
that's good. I hope nobody's punking themselves,
boy.
or set up stunts so they get struck by lightning.
I mean, between lightning and the floods that are going on, I mean, whew, this is like that,
better build
that movie.
Build your ark 2x2.
Yeah, this is like that 2012 movie, man. You got to watch out. Who knows what the winner's going to bring. John, I'm still working on my list of wrestlers for my top 100. I haven't added much to it because I've been busy at work.
What's there to work on, man? You got the right names. You got the right names. You don't have them in the right places.
I'm not done yet. So
I only got
41 names or 49 names right now. I'm still working on the others to place them. John, I watched the Lex Luger documentary. I sent you video clips that I thought was pretty interesting on some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I didn't know Lex Luger was an asshole and a better villain than he was a good guy, but he was an asshole back then. He even said he was. But they finally took it off of Peacock and said, hey, let's put it on this A&E, and boom, we'll lose a lot of the footage there. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. And I thought it did Lex Luger justice, from the good to the bad to he kind of reinventing himself, God-fearing Christian man, and admitting
right.
his mistakes, his stroke.
Right.
I thought it was really, really good. Have you seen it yet? If you don't, I have a link. I have a link I can send you for you to watch it online. And B, your thoughts on the total package himself, Lex Luger?
I haven't watched it yet, Brandon. I got the A&E app, so you have to send me a link. It's all good, man. So I'll check it out. No, man, Lex Luger, probably more. I'm just imagining, man. You know what I'm saying? Again, I haven't seen it. Probably more of highlights from his WCW career than anything, I'm guessing. Anybody remembers? His time and tenure in WWE, came in as like being part of a professional bodybuilding federation that Vince was trying to put together, not as a wrestler. But of course, when that folded, when Vince's boxing, you know what I mean, bodybuilding federation folded, he moved Lex over to the wrestling side. It wasn't a bad career. They just kind of set him up for failure. He got so far up to the championship matches. And they wouldn't go over it. They wouldn't let him beat Yokozuna. So
he wasn't the guy, as they said. As Pritchard McMahon said, he wasn't the guy.
In retrospect, right. You know what I'm saying? It worked better for him, my personal opinion, in WCW, because he had more of a supporting cast that was either, you know what I'm saying, in the back, the booker, and in between Ric Flair and Sting. Kayfabe alone, I mean, they're buddies. So they always looked at it. They all kind of looked out for one another. So Lex Luger, again, I think it's incredible, like how, again, he, you know, a lot of the muscles that he had in the 80s came from the tip of a needle. But my goodness, like he was put together incredibly. Had a great rise, you know what I'm saying, to the top, running with Ric Flair, running with the Four Horsemen, early days of the NWA, the World Championship Wrestling, you know what I'm saying, went back to WCW in one of the biggest moments in professional wrestling history. If anybody remembers when he was supposed to show up on Raw with the British Bulldog on a pre-tape show, but that didn't happen. He shows up live on a night on the first Nitro ever. So again, man, he definitely has some hot spots. As far as the wrestler, remember when he, I don't know if you recall, I can't remember, I don't have the date in my mind, when he beat Hulk Hogan, when he beat Hollywood Hulk Hogan for the WCW, this is before everybody went to the NWO, but again, another big night in professional wrestling history when Lex Luger beat Hulk Hogan, so definitely, you know what I'm saying, for being a character and a person, you know what I'm saying, responsible for making professional wrestling what it is right now, you definitely have to learn about, you know, saying the life of Lex Luger for sure. And he's working with correct me if I'm wrong, he's working with the WWE. I'd have added a whole other W in there. He's working with the WWE as a wellness, as a wellness instructor or whatever. And I mean, Lex Luger now is like a regular man. He looked like the really $60 million man back in the day. If anybody remembers him. But he was like a regular man, like Brandon said, he's had a stroke. He's had, you know, some different things, you know, saying, you know, to turn away from drugs, turn away from some of the things that, you know, saying that they kept him down for so long, personal side. But like, no, man, I'll definitely check it out. And but not only that, there's all kind of crazy YouTube like shoot videos with him kind of talking about his life and career. But I watched the official WWE document for sure.
Okay. Hey, John, I've been working on my I've got another list I've been working on. It's my personal, and I haven't put them in order yet, but I've got 15. Let me make sure I got 15. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15. My 15, top 15 matches in wrestling all time.
Okay. Brandon, right. You work on that because I can't think of no matches. I'm gonna.
No, I got them all. I'll just tell you them. There's no particular. I don't have any order, but I'll go through my list.
All right, spit them out. Let me see what you got.
Hulk Hogan versus Goldberg Nitro 1998. I sent you a video last night. I was watching it again. My God, that was the most electric crowds and electric nights in WCW Nitro history. It's kind of like Shivani said, when that the fans roar as soon as the bell rings for the match. And then obviously at the end, when this mass chaos, Bobby Heenan yelling, do it, damn it, your job,
hey,
career is on the line.
Brandon, that was the best part right there. Bobby Heenan turned up, you know, he's usually the heel.
He turned
heel
into like
Flair's
footage guy.
Yeah, he turned into the face heel guy because he has a long history of hating Hulk Hogan. He said, I can't believe it. He did it. He was It's a great match.
Bret Hart versus Bulldog 92 SummerSlam. I thought those
That's
two put
wins.
Yeah, I thought those two put a clinic on for a match.
That's a good one too. That's a great one too.
Yeah, and that was the first Intercontinental Championship match to be featured as the main event at the pay-per-view. Most people can't even tell you what the other main event, what match was. Do you know?
Do I know who the main event?
Who the other co-main event was that it should have, that could have been.
Was it Diesel?
Not 92, no.
Oh, 92. Oh, 92, it was with probably Sid Vicious and Hulk Hogan.
No, neither one of them were in the WWE at that time. They were both away. The matchup for that was Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage.
Was it retirement of Randy Savage?
I don't know if it's retirement because obviously he was in the 93 Rumble. No, it wasn't retirement.
Nah, it wasn't.
He retired
Macho King. That's when he retired when he was the Macho King.
Because it was, I believe in a Survivor Series, it was Warrior and Savage versus Ric Flair and Razor Ramon. That was Razor Ramon's first real big pay-per-view match in Survivor Series 92.
That's right. For some reason,
I remember the 92 pay-per-views when I was more than any other one. I think it was one of my greatest years in pro wrestling was 92. I hate to say it, but between all four major events.
Brandon, who else is on your list, man? That's a good match, though.
I got Brett versus Owen, WrestleMania 10, the opener.
Oh, man.
Another clinic of a match between those two.
Oh, man.
What, is that a oh, man, yes or no?
Snoozer.
Wow. John Cena versus CM Punk, Money in the Bank 2011. Just by the way the match went, the storytelling, the fact that if Punk's contract ended at midnight, the title's on the line, Cena's fired, and Punk ends up winning the title, just that whole storyline with McMahon and them, I thought it was
great. That was
incredible.
Crowd was hot. Incredible storyline. Everything made sense. CM Punk.
We worked at the big box store during this. Together, we talked about.
Yeah, I was working for the Big Blue Nation, Best Buy. Shout out to Best Buy, but yeah, man, that was a big match. That was an epic moment too, as well. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart Survivor Series '96. I thought it was really good. That was their first pay per view match. That's not when he was bloodied. Not that was a WrestleMania 13, but this was the very first match that they had against each other.
Oh, man.
I thought this one was better than the 13.
Stone Cold had some epic matches. That's one of them.
And you can call me a homer, the fact that three out of the five first matches I have is Bret Hart, but relax, everybody, relax. I got Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 6, title for title. I thought that was big time, and the type of match for that, my favorite's probably the crisscross. They do, and they're each running opposite directions in the ring. I thought that was hilarious. But big-time match, those two, with the Warrior going over Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, great. Gorilla Press Slam Hulk Hogan. It was crazy.
I got Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 25 and 26. I thought there's not many matches in WWE that can touch those two matches all time.
Is one of these matches, is this when Undertaker came from underneath the mat?
No.
No, that
was,
that's
was,
not right. That's
this
not right.
is where they fought each other, and then the next one was the Shawn Michaels retirement when Taker beat him.
Okay.
This is where Michaels came down in that all white, and then they had just an epic 40-minute battle with kickouts, and it was one of the really great, great, great match. Another one I have is Rock versus Hogan, WrestleMania 18.
Absolutely.
Electric crowd, Hollywood Hogan. Not sure who everybody's going to be pulling for, who they should pull for, but Hogan still got the love. I thought that was a really great match as well as storytelling with it, so I have that on my list. I've got Starrcade 98. I think it's 90. No, sorry, Starrcade 97. Sting versus Hollywood Hogan, that match.
Oh, my goodness.
Just with the buildup of it. I've got those two. I've got that one in there as well as one of my favorites.
Brandon, they had some good matches on Nitro, too.
They did. They had Bret Hart versus Hollywood Hogan on Nitro. When Bret had the fake knee injury, Sting came down the ring, and then I sent you the clip that's my one of the greatest when Bret Hart just drops Stinger with that DDT.
Yeah, he turned on Sting. He didn't know.
Did you? That's a type, and we could talk about fantasy matches anytime, but that's a matchup I would have loved to have seen both of them back in their WWF prime of Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart. Initially, John, from what I've been reading, Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan were initially supposed to fight each other at SummerSlam 93. That would have been epic.
I agree. And what, Hulk Hogan changed his mind? He said Bret ain't the guy?
That's what he said, yeah. And then 4 months, 5 months later, Hogan jumped ship to WCW.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy how things work out, man.
Yeah, and it's just like the Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, 92 WrestleMania that should have been those two here in Indianapolis. That would have been epic as well. I got Taker versus Mankind, King of the Ring, 98. where Mankind got thrown off the cell. I think that's just, you know, epic memories there. And I remember as a little kid watching that, like, my God, like, what am I watching? That's a match that always,
right. You can't fake
that. Yeah, couldn't
right.
fake, that,
fake
at all.
That at all.
Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10 ladder match. That's in
absolutely.
My top 15.
Absolutely.
Just, they've had other ladder matches before, but that one right there kind of solidified what a ladder match is at a prime time. Shawn Michaels, you could say it built his career. I mean, got his career like to the next level from where he was. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. I've got Ricky Steamboat versus Ric Flair at Clash of the Champions, 89, I think it was, or 92,
yeah.
I can't remember. No. Yeah, I had that one in there. I really liked that match between those two. Really, really good. I got Vader versus Sting, Super Brawl 93. I really liked that one.
Vader versus Sting is sick content.
So you gave my list so far, right?
I do. Outside of that Bret Hart. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm with your list, 100%.
Last two I have, Shawn Michaels versus Triple H, SummerSlam 2002. Shawn Michaels' return, Madison Square Garden. Him coming back. I thought that was an epic match there. Both of them just tore the house down.
I'm gonna have to rewatch that one. I was reminded the younger Triple H, like, I don't know, I felt like he did a little bit more, especially when
he did.
transitioning from wrestling like the Godwins and getting put up in the upper card. Like he used to go hard. So again, King of Kings, I don't know. That's his moniker. That's what he put self appointed. But again, man, I think I'm apt to agree with you. I just got to remember like how that match went between him and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, epic match I thought between those two. I believe. I don't think that was Hell in a Cell. No, because the Hell in a Cell match they had at Survivor Series was. Sorry, it wasn't even Hell in a Cell. It might have been Elimination Chamber 2002 was at Survivor Series where Shawn Michaels won the title, held the title for a month before Triple H won it back. And we may have to do a rivalry top list, but I think Shawn Michaels versus Triple H was a hell of a rivalry back in the WWE era. That was phenomenal. Back then. And then the last one I have on my list, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 12, the Iron Man match. Just good wrestling for a solid hour. You don't see that a lot. You see usually some breaks in there, but these two tore the house down. We already know their history with the rivalry and stuff, but there is
right.
That is my top 15. Well, there's my list of 15 in no particular order.
Dude, anybody, you might, I can see some people maybe adding to that.
Yeah, I probably could have put some extra NWA in there or WCW, I feel.
Well, you didn't necessarily do tag teams. You just went singles for the most
part. Correct. I mean, if I was going to add
other
gimmick stuff, I would probably put 92 Royal Rumble in there for sure. That's one of my favorite.
So,
I made it known. That's one of my favorite matches of all time.
Oh, you're not being fair to Flair?
I love that paper. That is my. I will tell you this: every time Royal Rumble season comes around, that's the very first Royal Rumble paper you all watch to get ready.
Right.
And
right,
I usually send you a clip throughout somewhere.
You're not being fair to Flair.
What are you doing, Rick? Take a walk. I saw somebody's list. They had Undertaker versus Undertaker at SummerSlam '94. I just watched that pay-per-view recently again, and I wasn't I wasn't too fond of the match itself. You know, I was like, I mean, it was all right.
Sure.
What about, I did like the Brett versus Owen cage match. I thought those two tore the house down. I almost was going to put that in my list over the WrestleMania one. But I went back and watched the WrestleMania one, and I thought the WrestleMania one was just a little bit better.
Yeah, Yeah. I'm not gonna refute a whole lot off your list, man. I like it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And now, like I said, I probably could have added some old NWA stuff or some WCW stuff. I just kind of went off of what I've seen and what I like
right.
of what I've seen. So I just really thought those were some great matches, and I tried to mix it all up in there. Hey, I only have John Cena for one match, so. And that was that CM Punk match, which was just epic. I think that's one of the best intros that I've ever seen for Punk coming out and then Cena mm-hmm. coming out. In best mm-hmm. storylines, the fact back then, you're like, dude, this dude's going to leave. I know we talked at the Big Blue Box store. Dude, this dude's going to leave
right.
at midnight, and he might have the title? Like,
right. Hilarious. Leave us on pins and needles, man. That was, yeah, definitely a great storyline.
Yeah, it's like crazy. So I'd be curious to see what kind of list you have for your top 50. I'm sure you'll have you would have several like I have there. That'd be
Brandon. I'm gonna come with the top 10 moments in professional wrestling. My personal top 10 moments, big moments. Could be a match. Could be when they set up a stunt. Could be,
yeah.
You know, I just think, because, like, you know, I come with my top 10 next week.
Let me ask you this. Will this one be in your list? And I don't want to, I'll spoil it. Because if I do,
right.
I'll do a top 10. Actually, you know what? I'll do a top 10 moments as well myself.
Okay.
I'll tell you one of them that's going to be on my list. I'll give it as a freebie. The Vince McMahon Higher Power. That one is a moment on my top 10.
Oh, my God. I don't know why. I thought it was horrible. But I
you
got
really
it.
Did?
I didn't like the higher powers situation.
It's
oh,
me, Austin. It was
oh,
me.
No, no.
Oh,
no, I thought you were talking about. I'm sorry. No, that was. I
no,
where
Vince,
Vince
was the higher power. He took off the thing. It threw everybody for a
yeah,
swerve.
Yeah, no, I'm with that. No, I'm with that. I thought you were talking about when he was fighting God. Him and he made gotcha. St. Mike. He made Shawn Michaels' tag team partner be God, then Vince McMahon.
Oh yeah. That was horrible. That was horrible.
That was horrible. Yeah.
one of 50,000. WWE product right now, John. I love it. Good. We had a good Monday Night Raw. That's back to back Monday Night Raws that have been good coming off pay per views. We got some more NXT guys that are kind of getting that push coming back. We just saw what's his face at the end of Raw last night or on Monday night. And I love the storytelling it told because in a segment before the main event, as the girls, Alexa Bliss and all of them were talking, in the background you see cops kind of squaring together in the back and then them running past the camera. And that's all they did. Then they went to their thing, and AJ Styles kind of did his – Alexa, stop. And I don't know why Alexa just went off. And, like, they came through. So – to me, and then they let that just kind of go on its own. You're just like, what the hell is that all about? And then for that Dax guy to come out at the end, but they didn't really say anything in setting up like an AJ Styles type of thing, and Johnny Gargano is probably going to come back now with that. I love what they're doing with this. I love what they're doing with it.
Well, Triple H is definitely in charge. Who else? Somebody got sent home. Was it John Laurinaitis?
Yes, he got fired. Future Endeavors. And I will love this, AEW people that have came at my ass for how many years already. So somebody on Twitter, I sent you the thing. Fightful.com has heard that WWE has interest in bringing another released talent back. We'll have the story shortly. And somebody goes, it's so sad that the Federation has to rely on surprises and debuts to pop a number. It's all they've got. I love it when the next person tweeted back and goes, dude, you just perfectly described AEW. Oh, I loved
that's
it. What,
right. That's every week. AEW is bringing in somebody
and
that used to work for the company. Yeah.
Did you see that Rusev and Andrade both have liked tweets that said, dude, you had it better back in WWE. They're not even like, they haven't used you. And they've liked those tweets. Like, I think those are two that we're going to start seeing people jumping back into WWE off AEW. I really
right.
do.
Those are two guys that Triple H, you know what I'm saying, probably, I'm just assuming, Triple H liked, because there's been, that's what happened. Triple H had a heart attack, and all his people that he was building up behind the scenes got different storylines, got cut or whatever. Austin Theory, I said it a couple weeks ago, man. Austin Theory better be thinking about, like, Vince McMahon's not here no more. That was his guy.
Yeah.
So I would assume Austin Theory's probably back. He's probably. I mean, I know he's got, for the storyline, he's got the Money in Bank briefcase, but also per the new storyline, like, he's not in the plans. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, for now he's in the plans. I could see him doing like a lose a Money in the Bank championship match to somebody else, like Ciampa. Ciampa's match the other night against Lashley I thought was really, really good. And you don't want to – and I will tell you this. It put the U.S. – we're talking a lot of wrestling tonight, which is fine because right now we're on the cusp of getting ready for football. But it made it seem like the U.S. title is getting back to the prestigious level that it used to be and that it actually means something. Because right now, that's the only title you really see week after week on Raw with, you know, with Reigns holding both titles. And, Kevin Cross,
right,
him coming back, and he's pointing to Reigns saying, "Tick tock, buddy." I think that could be a great match to see.
Well, you know me, man. I'm all about. You know, can we get bigger and better? And that's what I think that used to be a motto of the WWF when it was the WWF, WWE when it was the WWF, bigger and better, bigger better. When it was bigger, better.
I think it was
badder.
Yeah, badder.
Yeah, bigger, better, badder. So that, I hope that gets back to that. I mean, it just makes for all professional wrestling to be that more appreciated, whether it's AEW or WWE. When both sides are putting out class, good content, you know what I'm saying? It just makes it just builds up more of an atmosphere. I mean, right now, and for like the last couple few months, man, it hasn't been like. But hey, man, we're going in the right direction. I like it.
Trips, yeah. And right now, still the 100% planned main event for WrestleMania 39, despite Vince McMahon retiring, Roman Reigns and The Rock.
Stop it.
Gonna be epic.
He's
not
coming,
be epic,
man. Notre Dame ain't going to the Big Ten. The Rock is not jobbing to his cousin.
Are you ready to drop two L's? You're going to drop two L's in the next 6 months.
I'm not.
You're ready for it.
I'm ready.
Crazy.
I'm ready.
What else you got, John? You got anything before we wrap tonight?
I really don't, man. I still watch all the secondary sports, whether it's, you know, saying professional bowling or motocross, man. Anybody who watches our news feeds on Instagram, I see a lot more information, you know what I'm saying, from the tennis world, from professional bowling world, and even from like dirt bike motocross, man. Just because I have somewhat of an interest in it, man. You know, it's sports, so I watch it, you know what I'm saying? It's competitive. Guys win championships, guys win big money, man, you know. So bear in mind with me, I don't really have anything to report back from those leagues right now, but again, you know, it's just something that kind of piques my interest, man. I thought I'd put some information out there. You know what I'm saying? As those leagues are going through their prospective seasons, man. As we all know, Serena Williams, as I mentioned, Serena Williams just announced that she's going to plan on retirement and basically essentially growing her family, right? And not necessarily being dedicated to 100% at being a tennis player, man. I'm not ready to eulogize her career just yet. She still got the Open, which I do believe is this weekend. But like, nah, man, that again, man, you watch her. if you enjoy tennis, man, and you enjoy, you know what I'm saying, the elite level tennis, man, watch Serena Williams this weekend, man, because the times we get with her, if you get to see her, it's getting slim. So outside of that, man, Brandon, I don't have anything else, man.
I got two things.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I forgot two things, wrestling world. Ric Flair's final match that happened, and with him and Carlos Colon, what was that all about?
Oh, man, that was a slow motion.
And the fact I just heard from the report today that Ric Flair may have one more final match in New York, I mean, come on.
Nah, man, he don't need no more matches, man. We know Ric Flair is number one wrestler of all time, man. He doesn't have to keep on having these one last matches to feel something, man.
I didn't know Carlos Colon was still alive. Sorry.
He's moving in slow motion, man. They had a brawl outside. That was crazy. I shared it. I thought I put it. If I did, I put it back. But I thought I shared on Crossroads Sports Facebook page and on Instagram But but I'll double check, man.
Hey,
yeah,
shout out. We got our credentials for Purdue football this year. So shout out Purdue Boilermaker football. Thank you for the credentials.
Right.
We'll be there this year, a few games. Trying to get to the big one to start the season, Purdue Penn State. I think that would be a rocking one for us to get to.
Let's go.
Blackout sure. night, too. It's a late night for a Thursday for you. I hope you can handle it.
Oh, man, I had to take the day off.
There you go. Perfect.
We get on the list, though.
Yeah. All right, John Rappas, my man.
Man, I just want to say thank you to all our listeners and all our callers for calling in and supporting our show. I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. How could we do the show without our financial partners, you know what I'm saying, helping us out along the way? Man, me and Brandon, check us out every Wednesday. whenever we get the show going, but I usually just Wednesday, man. Thanks for checking us out every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8. Outside of that, man, folks, we'll be back next week, bigger and better. We'll get to everybody's call. We'll get to you, Nas, if you're still listening. We'll get to you, Reggie. Reggie Sykes is no longer the number one caller in Crossroads Sports, but I see him chiming in. I seen him chiming in, man, on a couple of feeds, man. So I'll get him from not calling in. Other than that, man, we had another great show, man. We're just going to do it all over again next week. Everybody, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.